97.5, The Fanatic.
11:02, 97.5, The Fanatic. Rob Motti and Josh Rabick producing a show, taking your calls at 610-632-0975. We're talking Eagles and Sixers. Looking at the Sixers and the struggles they've had. What is this team and what can they do? What can they accomplish? What are your hopes at this point for this season? Do you still hold on to, well, when Embiid comes back, you're not going to be any lower. I just played the scenario out for you. You're not going to be any lower than the number six seed. You're going to be top six, half game up now, whether it's six or five. Might not be too bad to be, if you're going to be six or five, might not be too bad to have the sixth spot if Boston's in there at the three. Even if Miami's in at the three. We know the Sixers, can, when they're healthy, they can beat those teams. So do you hold on to, well, add a shooter, whether it's one of the guys that were mentioned earlier in the show, Galloway, Kennard, add a shooter, see what this team can do when Joe comes back, how they can play without him, how they play with him. We're not hearing anybody today talk about, yeah, they can, they ought to move on from Joel Embiid. After they beat Boston, some people were like, yeah, well, they can move on from Embiid. Look, they just beat the Celtics without him. We're not hearing that anymore. Not today. So what is this basketball team for you? What can they accomplish? What do you see? We're at the midpoint of the season, a game away. They've been inconsistent. They can't win on the road. All of the concerns coming into the season, a lot of them are still there. Ben hasn't developed into a shooter or a consistent shooter or into anything remotely close to that. Stepped up on defense. Mike Scott's been a disappointment. Al Horford has struggled to fit. Jay Rich has been pretty good some nights and inconsistent others. Tobias isn't a guy who's going to be a superstar, but he's been pretty good. He's picked it up a little bit. What is this team? And what can they do this season? And as far as the Eagles, they're looking for an offensive coordinator. I've gone back and forth on Deuce. I like the idea of bringing somebody in from the outside. After seeing the Titans win with Smash Mouth football, I'm not opposed to Deuce Staley coming in there and being the guy who can get Doug Peterson to maybe concentrate a little bit more on running the football. Talk Doug Peterson into wanting to ground and pound if that's the case. So I'm back and forth on him. It's a big decision for this team. Maybe if you do that with Deuce, you bring in a passing game coordinator and you do something like that. But they got a lot of tough, tough offseason decisions to make too as well. And I will respond to this tweet that I got. I'm bringing up Carson versus Nick one more time. 610-632-0975. Adam in Germantown. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Adam?
Hey, great show.
How are you, buddy? Thank you.
All right, I'll be quick. You know, you're making your points about the 76ers and, you know, possibly axing Brett Brown. But, you know, you can think of all the candidates you want, but this ownership's not paying the extension of Brett Brown, another coach. So the only thing they're going to say, you know, you can think all you want. May as well think of a guy named Elton and a guy and his last name Brand. And he'll be down there on the bench. And because this isn't a matter of strategy. This is a matter of two players that are the core of this team, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, and they both want to win their way. They want to win, but they want to win their way. So the bottom line is, Elton Brand will be sitting on the bench and getting them to either get it, meaning win as a team, or get out because he's paying them a fortune. They're not going to pay two coaches. So everybody's all excited about, oh, God, are we going to get Jeff Van Gundy? Or are we going to get, they're thinking and thinking. You can stop thinking. It's either going to be Elton Brand telling off these guys that are young, that are getting paid now real money to play. They're not no longer getting paid on the rookie scale. You either get with it or get out.
So you think that the Sixers are not going to fire Brett Brown after this season because he's still got 2 years left on it? And are you saying that Elton Brand is going to – they would make him the GM head coach?
Yes. That's the only alternative that they will go to. They will not go to another head coach and pay two coaches at one time. This ownership doesn't waste money. They don't waste time. And they don't even – they're not even big on basketball. They're only big on getting a result out of the product that they put down, and they already.
Adam, that's an interesting thought, because he does have two more years left on his contract. If you were going to move on from Coach Brown, you're going to end up and bring somebody else in. You're paying two guys, and you're right. They don't want to waste money, and they do things financially, fiscally responsible way. I don't envision them telling Elton Brand, "Hey, you got to be the GM head coach." But maybe they make more excuses. They find ways to keep. At this point, right now, Brown's not going anywhere because Joel Embiid's hurt, so you can't evaluate. Right this season, right now, until he comes back, and then who knows what's going to happen in the postseason.
Believe me, it's either Elton Brand going down there, because it's not a strategy issue. They're not concerned about strategy. Elton Brand and Brett Brown are on the same page. So Elton Brand is going to say, you're getting paid regular NBA max money, both of you. You're the core of the team. I'm not trading you unless I have to. So you get with it or you get out. Mm-hmm. We already had to get rid of Brett Brown.
I got
to coach the team.
I hear you, Adam. Good stuff. Appreciate the call, man. Thank you. Have a great Sunday. The idea that the 76ers ownership wouldn't want to pay two head coaches and they wouldn't want to fire Brown with 2 years left on his contract, because he got the contract extension in 18 for 3 years, and it runs through the 2021-2022 season. So what I can see happening is, well, I always thought they were going to play out this season. I always thought they're not going to move him at any point. It would have taken something like a catastrophic 4-15 stretch to even think about it. So I didn't anticipate them moving on from Brown this season. Does the Joel Embiid injury give him more life? Does it give the ownership an excuse to want to keep him around? Wouldn't that be a concern? It's got to be. It's certainly a concern for Sixer fans if you feel that ownership, like Adam just said, isn't going to want. They're going to make the business decision. They're going to make the financial decision, the right one, and that is, you're not going to want to pay. Why would you waste money? Why would you pay two coaches? You only want to pay one coach. I'm not there yet, though. Right now, I want to see what this team is. And they're inconsistent. They can't win on the road. Now they have an injury issue with their best player. And all that said, I don't think you can't write the season off. And why I can't write the season off is because I feel that when healthy and they're playing games like they did in the spotlight on Christmas, the cameras are on, national TV's here, they can beat anybody in the East. They've done it. They can beat anybody in the East when they want to play and they bring their A game. And how do we know that can't happen in the postseason? So that's why I'm not I'm not ready to write this season off. I just think there's a lot to be done that they have to figure out. And one of those will be, what kind of move do they make between now and the trade deadline? And who can you add? Who can you bring in? So that's going to be a very, very interesting next couple weeks, especially with Joe out. But I'm not ready. I'm not writing the season off. Like, they can beat any of these teams in the East when they want to. And I know Joel's going to be out for a while, and he's going to come back, and they're going to have to get through the... He's out of shape, and he's got to work his way back in, and he looks slow and all that stuff, which I hope isn't the case. Maybe this time while he's sitting out, he stays with it, and he takes care of himself, and he doesn't have to come back, and he's fat and sloppy and out of shape. Maybe it doesn't happen. They got to be pushing him to make sure that doesn't happen. You absolutely have to be pushing them to make sure that doesn't happen. But if you get this team into the playoffs as a sixth seed, and that's what I'm counting on right now, and if anything happens where they move up, that's just icing. We'll see. Jay in Overbrook, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on?
How are you, buddy?
I am well. You entertained the last caller, Adam. You know, I don't like taking shots because Adam can't, you know, debate with me. He can't go back and forth. But to say that the Sixers won't fire Brett Brown because he has 2 years left on his contract, they fired Colangelo. They allowed Doug Collins to go and get paid. They are not a cheap organization where they're going to let the $3 or $4 million that Brett Brown is going to make while being unemployed affect the direction of the team. That's just utterly ridiculous. And I just gave you two reasons why I feel that way, Colangelo and
Collins. Well, yeah, in Colangelo's case, they had to because of the situation, what happened.
Exactly. Well, I wouldn't say they had to, but they did what they were supposed to. They paid him to go away. They paid Doug Collins to go away. So they're not going to keep Brett because he has 2 years left on his deal.
Well, they're certainly not going to tell Elton Brand to go be the head coach.
Right.
But I feel that they're going to look. They will give Brett the benefit of the doubt. And at this point right now, they got a built-in excuse for this season. Joel Embiid is hurt. Let's see what happens when he comes back. But if there's so many things that can continue to play out.
He's missed, as of last night, they're 4-5 with him. He's missed 9 out of 40 games.
Mm-hmm.
And they were mediocre with him. And they are .500 without him. So I don't give them a pass. This team, every night they're a different team. If they're making their three-point shots, they're a three-point shooting team. If they're playing hard defense, they're a defensive team. The good teams play a certain way and they win half on talent, half on the system that they play. Milwaukee, look what the Lakers did last night without LeBron, and I'm not even saying that Vogel is a good coach, but they play a certain way. Milwaukee, they play a certain way. Boston, they play a certain way. The Sixers, you know who the highest paid coach should be on the Sixers? That guy who shouts, 5, 4, 3, the one who's telling them the shot clock is running down every night. Like, that guy earns his money because he does that about 30 possessions a night. That's the system that they play. I love Brett Brown as a dude, but as a coach, a strategist, he's awful. He's awful. And then we talk about Ben won't shoot, JoJo won't be in shape. That's leadership, man. If these guys were on Miami, those things wouldn't be because they have a culture and they play a certain way. I love Brett as a dude, but he's not a next-level coach. He's not the dude to take them to the finals. They'll never make the finals with Brett Brown. That dribble handoff offense.
I don't think they make the finals with Brown, Ben, and Joe, and I think something's got to be shaken up. And more than likely, Jay, that is going to be the head coach at some point, and they're going to let this season. And good stuff, man. Appreciate the call, as always. They're going to let this season play, see what happens, and then make that decision. A lot can happen in this season. Because this, you got a team that can beat, they can beat anyone in the East, but can they beat them over the course of a seven-game series? Probably not. And especially when you don't have home court advantage. Chris in Pennsauken, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
What's up, my friend?
How are you, buddy?
I was good. I was telling your producer, I was out, you know, because it's a nice out, so my daughter wanted to do some ladder drill work out there.
Oh, yeah? I like that. Yeah, look at yeah, you.
Yeah, she's getting ready for, you know, her season, so
nice.
We'll be traveling up and down the East Coast all over the place.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah, Indianapolis, Las Vegas, Atlanta. At 13, it's crazy.
Wow.
But at least she can play. She gives 100%. I told her I'm not writing a check. I got to tell you, man, Adam, I don't. You know me. I don't do a hate-on-hate callers. That's the most ridiculous comment I ever heard. I pay $6,000 a year for two tickets down there, section 104.
Yeah.
He's getting zipped. He's getting zipped, man. And I don't care. I don't really mean to the guy. Everybody says I like him. Yeah, I like him too. But I like peanut butter and jelly. I thought that's my favorite sandwich. But I don't eat it every day. The guy just... He's your, remember I told you, he's your crazy uncle that babysat you and said, here's a sip of beer, mm-hmm. don't tell your dad. And I did, didn't I say before, I said, when they signed Tobias Harris, I said, that is a detriment. That is a complete gunshot. I like the guy, very good player, not a match player, man. When,
nah.
Remember my, you know, my analogies, you always laugh at them because I'm kind of goofy and I'm an old head. I told your producer, I said, that's like you have the hottest girlfriend around, and you come home to your dad and mom, and say, she does everything, everything's great, and they love her and everything else, and your dad calls you out in the garage and goes, well, what's up with her background, man, because this is too good to be true. And she, he goes, the son says to dad, he says, well, she was married four times. You know what the dad says to that?
Mm-hmm. That
get rid of her, man.
Oh, yeah.
It ain't happening. And that's the problem, man. It just is what it is. We're cornered. The credit card bill, I'm going to admit it, I got $25,000 tied up in 3 years down there. At the end of the day, the credit card bill is due, and now we got to pay for it, and we're stuck. You're going to have to get rid of Brett Brown after this year. Bring in, I don't know who you bring in, a disciplinarian, a future analytic guy. I don't know what it is, because, like, you know what I do. I own laundromats, so I'm not that guy. But at the end of the day, after that doesn't work, Ben, you got to go, dude. Because you're not getting rid of JoJo because he's a top 10 player. Ben now is dropping down to a top 25 player. He doesn't shoot. It's like you're going to your daughter and going, yo, I want you to be an A student. I want you to be an A student. She's a B student, man. Take it what it is.
She's not going. Brand. Yeah. In his case, he's not even trying. He's not even trying. They need. Chris, the only thing is, I don't know. I don't know if a new voice will be able to get through to these guys, but that's the next step. That's what they have to try.
You play baseball and you coached and you're a father. So you're a good example of this scenario. So, okay. So you have this, or you have A, B, or C, but you at least try to build a culture. You have an identity. We don't even have an identity. We put a name on it, the Monstars. Well, I don't see that. We're not a three-point team. I don't see that. We said we're a defense juggernaut. I don't see that. So what are we? You know what we are, Rob? What me and you grew up on. Every Friday night we have pizza. Monday night we have our pasta. And know what we have Wednesday night? Our leftovers, man, and we're leftovers. And it stinks. I love you, Buff.
All right, man. Appreciate it, Chris, as always. This team is, they're frustrating. They're certainly frustrating and they're disappointing. And you look at what we thought they could be and where they are right now, and you go, man, that is, it's kind of exactly like the way the Eagles season played out. A lot of high expectations. They had the injury issues. The Sixers didn't till this point with Joel Embiid. Jonathan in Philly, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You're right on.
All right. So I have a hot take, and I know you might think, like, when you hear this, like, this is probably a ridiculous claim, but I do want to describe it a little bit so it doesn't sound so bad.
Oh.
I was telling the guy prior, I think the Sixers should maybe look to pick up someone like Lonzo Ball before the trade deadline. And I'll tell you why. I think he's really good with playing with bigs. And he's also really good at playing with guards. And he's not scared to take a shot. Granted, he hasn't really been shown to have a lights-out three-point shot. but he has been consistently improving every single year. And I believe that like someone like that, that could, because right now when I look at the Sixers, I see a really good college team. And the reason why I say a really good college team is because they play fastball, they're running it down, and it just kind of seems a little disorganized. And I feel like right now they need someone who could slow the game down, who could run pick and rolls, who get their bigs involved, who could also, you know, run to the corner if need be and take a quick shot if they, like, you know, if they're working a play or something like that and it doesn't work out.
So where you put Jonathan, where are you putting Lonzo? He's a point guard. What are you doing with Ben Simmons?
I think we run Lonzo at the two guard because so he's been playing with guards throughout, you know, UCLA.
You think he can shoot good enough to be a two guard? He's at 35.5% 3-point this year.
As a person off the bench,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but 35.5, and but that's consistent improvement. That's
it's pretty good. No, for he's up from last year. He's up from the year. He's taken. He's attempting at least six plus per game. So he's taking those 3-pointers. He's not shy about shooting them.
Right, and so I'm considering him to be maybe a guy that comes off the bench, like, you know, starting off with Josh Richardson, and maybe you could have him and Josh Richardson play together. Like, you know, because Josh Richardson normally facilitates the team when Ben Simmons comes out. That's kind of like the normal game plan. Or maybe have him and Ben kind of run it, but have Ben essentially run the offense and then use it.
Listen, I'm not going to dismiss anything. I appreciate the call, Jonathan. Thank you. Have a great Sunday. I'm not going to dismiss anything. I just don't. Josh, you Lonzo Ball, give me a thumbs up or thumbs down over there. Probably not, right? I don't know if that fit will work. I don't know if that fit will work with Lonzo Ball. 610-632-0975. Chuck and Carl, hang on. You can join the show after them. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
11:29 and 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti with you till 1. 610-632-0975. Good work out of you, Josh. His cap hit for Lonzo is $8.7 million. Next year jumps to $11 million. Yeah, I don't see a fit. I don't know, not just basketball-wise, but how are you going to be able to fit him in? Someone just tweeted at me, Alex says, we say now that they can beat anyone in the East. The trade deadline is still a month away. The other teams in the East, great show. Sorry, I can't call. Thank you. Other teams in the East can make trades and improve. Sixers can only acquire role players. Yeah, when I say they can beat any team, is they've beaten, not over the course of a 7-game series, especially one in which they don't have home court. I feel they can beat any team. Like they beat Milwaukee on Christmas Day in a game. Like they beat Boston the other night without Joel Embiid. Like they have defeated Miami, and they also lost to Miami in a game they should have beat the Heat on the road by 1. Can they beat all of these teams in a 7-game series? Not right now. Not what I see. Not what this team is. I still got it. I'm trying to put off as long as I can this response to the Carson Nick thing again. I thought we moved past that, but I guess it won't be past that in some people's minds. So we'll continue to hear it at some point. So I'll answer that. I'm not, instead of tweeting back, I'll just answer it on the air. Let's go to Carl in Philly. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Carl?
Hey, how you doing?
How are you, buddy?
All right. I'm going to start off about the Sixers here. Brett Brown has to go. He's lost the team, and his and the way he designed plays, it looks the same. We don't look no different than since he's been here with this handoff, looking for threes, struggling to get layups. You know, it's the offense easy has to go, and I don't think they hear him anymore. And Ben Simmons has made him look bad. As a coach, you tell a guy, I need you to shoot at least one three a game. He come publicly and said it. He said it probably to him personally. Then he came out public thinking it was, you know, okay, it might strike a nerve if I come out publicly.
Yeah, and the way he said it, Carl, that day, he was kind of, you know, go tell his family, tell his agent, tell whoever you want
right.
to tell.
I
think that bothered Ben a little bit. He hasn't shot one since.
But see, what people don't understand is that Ben is very
stubborn.
Stubborn. He's a stubborn guy. First of all, he was pissed off because he didn't come straight out of high school. He was mad about that because he felt as though he should have came straight out of high school, but he had to go a year in college. He was pissed off about that. I think now he's worrying more about his percentage than what's going to help the team. Now he is what he is. He can't get off. He only gets off on bad teams. He only gets off on bad teams and teams that don't play defense. He can't run a pick and roll as a point guard. He can't run pick and roll. That hurts the team. He can't play in a half court game, which we know in the playoffs. We forgot game 7 last year. He had 7 points with 5 shots. That's ridiculous. And you are a point guard? You only had 7 points and 5 shots game 7 last year. That's a disgrace.
Carl.
He shouldn't be a point. He cannot penetrate. He only comes down court when it's a fast break. Half court, he hands off the ball. So now it's 5-on-4. He doesn't pop out for the jump shot. If you look, if he has to get the ball 4 or 5 seconds left, he passes it. He refuses to shoot the jump shot. So to me, he's worried about his brand and more than the team. If we give up Embiid, we're done. And that's why Embiid came out and spoke about Butler's not here. I got to carry the load. He don't believe in Ben. He came out a couple weeks ago and said about if we have a shot, we have to do what's better for the team. If we have a shot open, we have to shoot it. It's best for the team. They don't believe in Ben. And don't forget, Elton Brown was shopping them around last year a little bit.
I kind of feel, and Carl, I hear you, and your points are valid. And what I think with exactly what Joel was saying a couple of weeks ago, I think that was directed at Ben. And I think the team feels that way, and that's why. And I appreciate the call, man. Thank you. I don't know how far they can go. I already said I don't think they go to win a final or go to the finals with the trio of Ben, Joe, and Brett. But I don't know if they could do it with the duo of Ben and Joe. Because the more and more we see, questions aren't answered, flaws remain, holes in the game, everything. It's still out there. It's still out there. Now, Ben, is it fair to say at this point Ben is who he is? I'm not going to say he definitely can't at some point, but right now this is who he is. And his reluctance to be aggressive on offense when you disappear in the second half like he did last night. Joe's not out there. Doesn't score a point in the second half. I think he only took 2 shots in the second half. I don't know how that happens. That's going to hurt the team. He's got incredible talent. Maybe a different coach. There's so many question marks. Could a different coach get it out of him? No. Is that who he is? Can he stay this way? What's going to happen if you do go to a new coach and then you get a new coach and nothing changes? Then is it the player you move on from? There's so much in the air with this basketball team right now. So many questions up in the air with this basketball team. We're halfway through the season. I don't know what they're going to be. Mitch in East Windsor, you're on a Fanatic. What's up, Mitch?
How's it going, Robbie?
How are you, buddy?
Good show.
Thank you.
You think all these Willis and Dillons is kind of like backfired? I mean, the bench is kind of weak. You know, I like to see so many young guys, and you got Trey Burke. I know Trey Burke hasn't panned out, and he just likes to shoot. But you know, maybe Brandon Ingram was a better choice of a pick.
Mm.
I mean, at least he doesn't mind shooting the ball. He has a better shot than Ben.
Well,
Jimmy Penn has to move to a different position.
It's not working, Mitch. It's not working, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. At least Magic Johnson. I mean, I don't know. It just looks like they're not as deep as Milwaukee. But we're over in the West at some conference. I wish the Sixers had taken a chance on a fly on Howard. I mean, he's looking pretty good back there. I mean, first of all, the Lakers, I've never seen a team that signed or traded for 3-4 centers, pretty much centers.
Dwight Howard, you talking about?
Yeah, Dwight Howard.
Did you see Boban the other day go just like 3 or 4 offensive rebounds over him and then finally stuffed one in his face? Of course he did that to the Sixers too last night, but Lakers are entirely different. Yeah, you got LeBron. It's a whole other scenario. Yeah, I think they did the right thing there.
Do you think the Clippers? You think it might be this? This might be their year because I think they have a couple of superstars, but their bench is better. I mean, Lakers got some besides a couple of Hall of Famers. I mean, top 10 players I think of all time. Their bench is kind of weak though. They really don't have a point guard, kind of like the Sixers.
Yeah, well, it's good. Lakers now 1-8 in a row. It's going to be a fun battle, that's for sure. I'm looking forward to it. It certainly looks like it's going to set up for Lakers-Clippers
in the Western Finals.
So that'll be fun. What are they going to do, just switch locker rooms in between? They're both the home team. It's going to be interesting. That'll be fun. It'll definitely be a fun series to see. I don't know at this point, Mitch. What do you got on the Kansas City Chiefs, you turn into a big Red fan now since there's nothing else left for you?
Well, that was some upset yesterday. I mean, nobody wants to see Cam Hill in the Super Bowl, but he still has to win 2 games. And the 49ers, they got something. I don't know what Kansas City was giving them 4, so, I mean, how many times can Andy Reid screw up not getting the Super Bowl? I think he can get to the Super Bowl, but I don't know if he can beat the 49ers with that defensive line.
No, I agree with you. I don't know. I think he can get to the Super Bowl. I think this could be the time he can win, though, Mitch. But yeah. I'm not, you know, he's got to get through Houston today. And to, for me, this is what I learned with Andy Reid. Until he wins, nothing's a guarantee with his team. They got talent. Patrick Mahomes is an incredible talented guy. But until Andy finishes the job, he's been close, but he's got to get there. I would like to see Andy in the Super Bowl, and I appreciate the call, Mitch. Thank you. I'd like to see him finally get his. Now that I don't have, you know, Kirk Cousins isn't in there, Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh aren't there, Andy, well, it should be, we'll see. It should be some good football today, hopefully. Hopefully better than yesterday, because they were 2 blowouts and they were not fun to watch. I'm not a big fan of the smash mouth running football. It's worked for Tennessee. It's worked well for them. They pulled off 2 huge upsets on the road. And now they're getting to the AFC Championship game. But I don't enjoy that brand of football. I like seeing the passing game. So hopefully today's games are a little bit more exciting. 610-632-0975. Cisco, hang on. I promise I'll get to you first when we come back. You can join the show after him. Rob Motti, 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, 11:45, 97.5 The Fanatic. This is the Rob Motti Show. I'm here till 1-610-632-0975. I was just looking at some of Andy Reid's numbers, putting together, preparing for, if he wins today, what will be his 7th conference championship game, and he's 1-5 in conference title games. This time he'll be home again, and if he's home again, he's 1-3
in conference championship games at home because Baltimore lost, giving Kansas City the one seed. The Eagles had the one seed 3 years in a row when they lost to the Bucs, lost to Carolina, and then finally beat Minnesota. Cisco and Bluebell, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, Cisco?
All right, how you doing today?
How are you, buddy? Fantastic.
Great, great, great weather and everything. Ben Simmons, I came to the conclusion, Ben Simmons does not love the game of basketball. I think he loves basketball for the things it gives him, the money, the cars, the women, the house, and that's it. I don't think he might talk a game saying he wants to be the best in the league or whatever, but that's not his real interest. His interest is just getting what basketball gives him, and that's where I come to.
Cisco, I don't know if that's fair to say. You know, I think you look at a lot of athletes nowadays, I don't feel that they love the sport as much as guys who, you certainly don't, because the guys who played this game for love of the game and all of that stuff back in the day, and the guys who used to play and have to work a different job, and it's just a different time and a different era. I don't know if that's fair to say about Ben. And not fit, to me, I think that's just the environment right now that we're in. I think a lot of professional athletes love what they get out of being a professional athlete more so than the actual game itself.
Well, I will tell you this much before I hang up.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to a second processing period.
Mm.
At the end of the year, Brett Brown will be fired. New coach will come in, and then that new coach will find out, you know what, Ben Simmons ain't doing it for me. Then he will be traded after 3 or 4 years, of course, of his contract. That is the process we're going to go through. I see it right now. I see what's going to happen. That is the next process.
You might not be wrong.
We won't be on top until we go down and come back up again now. I really think that.
Wow, and it's only been 2 years on top, and it really hasn't even been top. They've been 2 years, they've been a three seed, they got to the second round and lost.
Yes, sir. And Ben Simmons is actually the elephant in the room. No one is looking at Ben Simmons. He is the one that's holding this team down. He is the elephant in the room. That's all I have to say today. Thank you.
All right, man. Appreciate the call, Cisco. Have a great Sunday. You're not the only one who feels that way. There's a lot of people who look at this team and pinpoint the issues to be Ben. It's troubling. It's frustrating because he has so much talent. And we know what he could be, yet this is who he is right now. And how much more are you going to get out of him? I don't know. Could another coach do it? I'm not sure. You're not going to find out this year. Because right now what the Sixers are going to do is hope they can survive without Joe till he comes back, whether it's after the All-Star break, it's in a month, 5 weeks, whenever. Get into the playoffs. Hope that this team can come together. I mean, you're still talking about a team that's dominant at home, 18-2 at home. But they can't win on the road. And if you can't win on the road, then you can't win in the postseason. So they're legitimate. All your concerns, they're all legitimate. They're all valid. Todd in West Deptford, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, Todd?
Rob Mahdi, good afternoon. How are you?
Fantastic, buddy.
First of all, I got to tell you, I love your analogy. I also love listening to your partner, Deke, as well. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
And the first thing I want to bring up is, this stems back to me for last year. I'm a huge Sixer fan. I've been my whole entire life. I've seen the ups and the downs, you know, the high peaks and the low peaks. I think it all stems from last year. I thought, and I know a lot of people have probably brought this up, Jimmy Butler was a great fit for JoJo. If you remember how well JoJo was playing with Butler in there because he's the alpha.
Yeah.
He was the leader of the team. I thought it was a big mistake and I don't know, you would know more of me about this with the whole contract, and I know he wanted culture and everything like that, but I wonder if more of this, it sounds like to me, had to do with if Brett Brown's not there, does Jimmy Butler stay? That's what I'm always going to, you know, have in the back of my mind.
I think Todd, Jimmy didn't want to stay because of Ben being around.
And I think that as well.
Yeah, you're right. He's a good fit.
Well.
Yeah, he was a good fit for Joel, but not with Ben there.
If you look the way Joel was playing, he was playing like a man possessed last year. He loved it. The camaraderie that they had between those two was so, the gel was so good. And I don't think Ben liked it. I think Ben was jealous, is what it came off to me as the relationship they probably had together.
Yeah, I don't know that to be the case, but I could see, like, Joel and Jimmy clicked.
Oh, my
and
God.
Yeah. I'll point to, I think it was a game in the playoffs where Joel had a terrible game. It might have been in the Brooklyn round. In the Brooklyn round, and Jimmy had done his little thing with the media, but because he had always, for a few games, gone to the press conference with Joel, sat with him, he said, I'm going to go with him anyway. And, like, right. That to me, that spoke volumes about their relationship. And then, you know, they're not back together, but you're not off base there for sure.
No, and my other thing is about Ben Simmons. Look, we're in year four now. I was all for this kid. I was, you know, when we drafted him, I was excited. But I don't ever want to see another video clip. I don't want to see foul shots. I don't want to see a guy draining three-pointers, you know, before the game. I don't care about any of that, because the bottom line is that this guy, for some reason, and I don't know if it's the coach, like I said, you'd know more than I do, but he can't get through to him. This guy doesn't want to shoot the basketball. He gets so many wide-open looks, and they bait him to do it. And it's so frustrating because we're in year four, and we're seeing the same Ben Simmons. Yes, he's a great defender. I will say he's one of the best defenders. But for a guy of his caliber and what he's getting paid and the money that he's getting paid now, he's got to be giving more to the team than he's given, than 6-foot jump shots inside and missing open layups. And how does a guy that, you know, good not work on his foul shots? Why doesn't he get to the foul line enough? These are questions.
Because he's not comfortable shooting them. So
no,
you're right.
This is a major problem.
I know.
Because we're never going to go anywhere if Ben does not take that next step.
Yep.
He's got to take that step. I don't know what, you know, don't tease us and drain a couple of meaningless three-pointers then. Why not?
He nails him in the corner in pregame. I see it. And I appreciate the call, Todd. Good stuff, man. Thank you. He's legitimate concerns, and it's hard to argue against that, because these are things that we've seen now. I mean, you're talking about a game last night where he scored 11 points in the first half, had a nice first half. Sixers are leading at halftime against Dallas on the road. In the game, they only turned the ball over four times. They couldn't shoot at all from three. Yet they still got a lead, and Ben's playing the way he is. Then they need scoring in the second half, and you don't have Joel, and Ben doesn't score a point. I think he only took two shots. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is and how it will change. 610-632-0975. We'll continue talking about the Sixers, Ben Simmons, whatever you want to talk about with the Sixers, some Eagles conversation. As we continue, Chase, I'll get to you first when we come back. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.